20 minutes till 8. I'm just going to take about 15 minutes and just get back into tonight the study that we began through the battlefield of the mind and warfare of the mind, mind wars. And we talked about some of the truth tours, tools that God wants to give us. And I want to read a couple of verses of Scripture. They're kind of our text. And then I want just to share a couple of things with you tonight, because I know that I don't have the time to get through it all. I really feel like this is a divine assignment. There are times you preach because God lays something on you, specific message, specific, you know, maybe it's for somebody that comes in. I've preached whole messages and noticed that the whole message was for one person that showed up in the church that day, and it was definitely for them. It changed their life. Amen. You know, that's just how God will. You know, God will do stuff like that. God will be in a room of 1,000 people, and God will single you out in the midst of all them people. Why? Because God loves you enough that He'll stop all of what's going on to get to you. Yeah. Isn't that good? Yeah. Isn't that how much God loves you? That's the kind of God we serve. But I really feel like this series on Thursday nights, the Lord spoke to me and spoke to my heart about this. And I think one of the reasons is because a lot of times you minister out of your own need. And one of the things I found out as a young Christian, that God would allow me to minister out of the greatest needs that are in my own life. And so one of the greatest needs in my own life as a Christian was learning how to think correctly. Was learning how to have the right mindset in ministry. Because you can sabotage the work of God in your life. You can have all the tools. You can have the gifting. You can have the heart. You can have the desire. But if you don't have the right mindset, you're limited. And a carnal mind and having a spiritual body and the Spirit of God living in you and you having a carnal mind, it negates one another. There's a limitation that comes over your life. There are certain things that you'll never be able to walk in and never be able to do because you have limited yourself in thinking. I truly believe, now it could be just me, but I truly believe the Bible teaches, and I when Jesus died, I don't believe Jesus died so that we could be good humans. Right? Right? That's part of it. I mean, how many better off now than when you got saved? You're a little better human, right? But I don't believe that's all Jesus did. I believe that when Jesus died and rose again, I don't believe that He forgave our sins, but I believe there was a level of redemption that happened where He reclaimed everything that was lost. Everything the devil stole from humanity, Jesus reclaimed. And I believe we can walk in it. I'm just crazy enough to believe that. And I'm crazy enough to believe that when the Scripture says, Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. All right? Right? I'm just foolish enough to believe that Thy kingdom can come here on earth as it is in heaven. That what God said in heaven, you right? Yeah? I mean, it can happen. Why can't heaven invade earth? And a lot of it doesn't have to do with God's willingness. It has to do with our ability and our yielding to allow God and to believe God that His Word is what it says it is. And so I just want to share a couple of things with you tonight, and I just want to give you an appetite in your spirit. Because next week I'm going to talk about the three things, the three hindrances to the mind. And I want to talk about the three or four hindrances to the mind next week. And who knows, I may preach it Sunday morning. You know, maybe the whole church needs to hear it. You know what I'm saying? But I want to talk about the four hindrances to the mind. But today I want to drop in your spirit just a thought. We've been talking about the battlefield of the mind. And so the battle that goes on, the war of the mind. I believe God wants our mind healed. I believe God wants our mind to be stayed upon Him. And I believe there are certain mindsets, whether put there by the enemy, knowingly or unknowingly, we adopt certain mindsets in our lives, and sometimes those things have to be pulled down. And the reason is because certain mindsets can ruin relationships. Relationships can suffer. And so because of certain mindsets. But Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, you don't have to turn there, but if you'll turn over to Romans chapter 12, I'll be there in just a second, but I want to read this one verse of Scripture. It's kind of the text. It says, For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We talked about that last week. We talked about the word thinks. It has a triple meaning. In other words, it means to calculate. It means to estimate value. It means to be a gatekeeper. As a man thinks, you're a gatekeeper of your mind. You're a master of your own thoughts. God has given us the ability to, when we think something, we have the ability to take that thought, and that thought can either be a part of our destiny, or we can bring it into captivity and remove it from our lives. Our thoughts have the ability to dictate our destiny. There's no doubt about that. We talked about how our body could be sacrificed to God, and our heart could be right with God. But if most Christians haven't learned how to love God with their mind and with their thought process. And so what happens is their church people, they love God, there is a desire to God, but the thing that comes out of their mouth are the things, the mindsets that are in them that have been there. They say things, they do things, they don't even know it's there. They have a mentality of negativity, or they have a mentality of just because of an environment they've been in a prolonged period of time, or a situation they've been in a prolonged period of time, all of a sudden their words become, they begin to speak certain things. And the Bible says that life and death is what? In the power of the tongue. So you will reap. I mean, it's like sowing. Your words are sowing. So when you say them, they don't return void. Your destiny, when you speak words, those words have the ability of life and death. So, but our words, and a lot of times you'll see that in the Old Testament, and in some cases in the New, that the heart and the mind is an interchangeable word. So a lot of times when you hear the word heart, or you hear the word mind in the Old Testament, it's talking about the same thing. They have the same root word in the Hebrew. They come from the same root word. So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? But what's in the heart comes from the mind, the way we think. And so the Bible says out of the issues of life flow what? Flow out of the heart. And so a lot of times what gets into the heart passes through the mind. It's the first stage. It's the first process. I'm going to show you that here in just a moment. And I won't be long. I promise you, I'm just going to just touch this a little bit tonight. We talked about that most Christians don't know the importance of the power of the mind. That the mind is a gatekeeper to calculate, estimate the spiritual, eternal value of our thoughts, what we're thinking, because what we do... because of what we do with those thoughts determine who we are. It's very simple. What you think long enough is, and what you meditate on is what you will become. It's what will come out of you. We talked about that as a faithful gatekeeper, you have to ask every thought that comes into your mind, is this the will of God? I told you in Philippians 4:8 is a good place. Rememorize that verse. Whatsoever things are true, noble, just, pure, of good report, whatever is virtuous, whatever is lovely, think upon these things, praiseworthy. Think on these eight things. These eight things are the foundations that when every thought comes through your mind, it should pass through the filter of Philippians 4:8. Is it true? Is what I'm thinking is true? Is it praiseworthy? Is it virtuous? Right? Huh? And if you use that filter, then what happens is there's a delay from your mind to your mouth. How many know some of us need a filter from our mind to our mouths? Huh? I've known people that just say anything, anywhere, anytime. It hits them, it's out. It hits their mind, it's like a second and a half between the time it hits their mind to it's spoken out. And then later they're like, oh, I can't believe I said that. Has anybody ever said anything you can't believe you said? And it just came that quick, it just comes to your mind. In other words, but the Bible says God wants us not to have a spirit of fear, but of love, joy, peace, and what? Sound mind. And He wants to give us a sound mind. I said that you sow a thought, you reap an action. You sow an action, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, you reap a character. You sow character, you reap destiny. That is the destiny that's in your life. So I said that our thought life has to be intentional. We have our thought life. What we think has to be intentional. Destiny starts with a single thought. We cannot let thoughts run wild. We cannot meditate and be unchecked in our spirit and what we think about. We cannot flirt with unholy thoughts. We cannot fantasize about unholy things. We can't continue to put our mind on certain things. Those things will have influence on us. Let me tell you the lie in the church today. And y'all can get mad at me if you want. I don't care. Y'all get mad. But we have this thing in the church today that we try to do this relationship or like fellowship evangelism. You know, where we think that we can go in environments that are unholy and be in environments for prolonged periods of time that are not godly or ungodly, and we think that we're there to witness and we think that we're there to uphold it and all this kind. Let me tell you, you go in there long enough, you'll have the Stockholm Syndrome where you'll begin to think like them. You'll begin to have sympathy towards their sin. Huh? I'm telling you, it's true. All these barroom evangelists. Huh? Y'all know what I'm talking about. That's the hour we live in. We think we walk in and lay around and get in the environments of what the ungodly live in. Well, I'm just here to witness. I'm just here to share Jesus. Well, you stay in that environment too long, all of a sudden you begin to meditate on those things. It'll come out in the way you live and how you act. Why? Because the Bible says we're to renew our minds. Be ye therefore transformed, be ye not conformed, but be ye therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be not conformed. It means to a way of thinking, lifestyle. It means to a way of thought process. I mean, that's what it's talking about. That's what the emphasis there is. So we have to be intentional about what we think. We have to guard our eyes. I know that knocks out about 150 channels off your Time Warner, right? Huh? Am I telling the truth? There's some crazy stuff on TV. Some crazy stuff. Huh? Dating naked. What is that? I saw the advertisement for that. Dating naked. I'd do good just to date with clothes on. What is all that? You know what it is? It's to get people's attention to the perversion of their mind. And so what happens is people meditate on that stuff. They see that stuff, right? I mean, we could go all night with that stuff. I'm not here to preach about what's on TV, but I'm telling you, there's a spirit behind it. It's to shape your thinking, to shape your mindset. Daniel said that he purposed not to take the delicacies of the king's table, nor did he meditate on those things of the idols or idol worship. Why? Daniel knew that God set him apart, and in order for him to be used in the last days, he had to separate himself. And the Bible says, come ye out and separate yourself. So there's a separation as believers. We have to make a decision what we're going to allow in our spirit and in our mind, and what we watch and what we don't watch, or what we allow to be meditated upon or what we don't. Now listen, to have a thought is not a sin. Because let me tell you, there's some thoughts that come to me that are not good thoughts. But what I do with that thought is very important. You know, and I have to take that thought into captivity. And I have to cast it out. That's part of the temptation of the devil, is to throw that thought in your mind. You know what I mean? I said last week we were talking about the thoughts that will come anywhere, random anywhere. Squirrel. It's like, you know, where's that come from? You know, just enter your mind. I'll be doing something totally unrelated, and the enemy will throw something in my spirit, and I'll be like, why in the world am I thinking about that? I'll be halfway across the country doing something, or be someplace, and all of a sudden be thinking about something that happened 2 years ago with somebody. Just to get me mad, get me upset, get me off, you know what I mean? How many has that ever happened to you? Whatever's true, whatever's pure, whatever's noble, whatever's just, whatever's praiseworthy, whatever's virtuous, whatever's lovely, you know, think upon these things of good report. That's the way to think upon those things. It's the goodness of God. You have to ask this question. Here's how you think intentionally. You have to say, who are you, when a thought comes in your mind? Second, you have to ask, what are you trying to do or accomplish in my life? In other words, you have to ask that thought by you coming into my mind, what are you trying to accomplish in my life? What will that thought accomplish if I complete that thought, meditate on that thought, live that thought out, act on that thought? What will be accomplished in my life? You have to recognize where it comes from first. Either God or the devil. That's the only two places they're going to come. Huh? Are you good for me? Right? Are you good for me? You have to think intentionally. Is this thought good for me? Is this thought going to help me grow in the knowledge and grace in Christ Jesus? Will this thought help my spiritual life? So we have to think intentionally. And so you have to have complete control of your thoughts, and it's the mind war that takes place. And the Romans chapter 12, I want to read that because there's a connection here. I've got 5 minutes. Let me just get this in your spirit. Beginning in verse 1, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed. Right? Conformed. It means do not be conformed to a mindset or a character, or don't be shaped by the world or the values of. That's what that means. Be not conformed. Do not be shaped by the mindset, the values of this world that's contrary to God. Be not conformed to that. In other words, it means, and so the verb of that word in the Greek means the accompaniment or fellowship of. So when there's a thought that comes in your life, and if you don't put that thought into captivity, and you take that thought's going to have three ways that it's going to act as a verb in your life. First of all, there's going to be an action. That thought can create an action in your life. So you have a thought about something, doing something, going somewhere, saying something. There's an action. There's a release. There's an action to it. There's a belief to it. In other words, there's some type of belief. You've justified that thought in some way. In order for you to act on it and to act it out, somewhere while as the gatekeeper of that thought, you've rationalized that thought would be good for you. Somewhere along the line. Right? And that's what it means. Be not conformed to this world. Do not be formed into another mindset other than Christ. So there's an action. There's a belief. But not only an action and a belief, but there is a condition experience. In other words, sometimes thoughts that come into our life come out of a conditioned experience. In other words, how many has ever heard of nostalgia? Right? Just like the good old days. Trying to recapture a moment or trying to recapture a feeling. You start dating a gal that you went out with in high school. And in high school it was a love. You were in love. You were, you know, you had your hot rod or whatever it was that you drove, or your Toyota or your beat up Vega or whatever you had. And that feeling of that experience, whether it was holy or unholy, as you'd say, there's a nostalgia there. And if the enemy can get you thinking about that nostalgia and experiencing that condition again, then what it does, there's an action and a belief that comes behind that thought, and you carry that thought out. That's why drug addicts have to be renewed in their mind. You can detox their body all you want. You can put them in jail. Listen, you can put them in jail, they can detox, and they can be there for 6 months, but if they don't change the way they think, they'll come out, and the first thought in their mind will be the nostalgia, right, of the euphoria of that drug. And so what happens is there's a condition there. They have to take that thought into captivity and say, I am not, and it could be anything in your life. Gambling, huh? Affairs, pornography. Y'all listening to me tonight? I'm helping you. Because I've had to battle my own mind. As a young Christian, I had to learn that it's just not submitting my body and just not submitting, you know, just the words on my lips to praise God. That's why people can come into the church, they can sing the songs, they can worship, they can lift their hands, they can do all the action, but when they leave here, their activity is totally different than what they did when they came in this building. Why? Because their mind, they've been conformed to another thinking and not transformed by the renewing of their mind. So God wants to transform your thinking. And so, where we're going with all of this, it's interesting. The Bible, it says, be ye transformed, which metaphoro, it means to be changed into another form. It's a powerful word here. To be ye transformed. And I'll close with this tonight. It's interesting. I never thought of it. You know, sometimes you can read a scripture, and you read it, and you see the gist of it, but then you really think it's about one thing, but then years later God shows you that there's something else there that you totally missed? But Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Y'all remember that? And He took them up there, and what happened? Who appeared to them up on that mountain in Matthew 7? The Bible says what? Moses and who? Elisha appeared to them. And all of them responded in a different way. Matter of fact, just turn there real quick and just let me read, because I want you to hear this word, because I want you to hear the gist of this. This is a powerful. Matthew chapter 17, I'm sorry, not 7, 17. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 2. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and his brother and led them up on the mountain by themselves. And He was transfigured before them. His face shone on them like the sun, and His clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared unto them, talking with them. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, 'Lord, it is good for us to be here. If You wish, let us make 3 tabernacles, one for You, one for Moses, and one.'" Now, Peter wanted to act religious. He didn't know what to do. See what happens when the Spirit of God moves sometimes? People don't know what to do, and because they don't know what to do when the Spirit of God's moving, they just be religious. Hey, let's just build a temple here to Moses and Elijah so we can come back and visit it every week because we've had this encounter. But Jesus was transfigured, transformed. It's the same word that is used in Romans when it says, "Therefore, by the transforming of your mind," the transforming of your mind, metamorpho, changing into a different look. In other words, it's transforming into another form is what it was. So they had this, saw Jesus in this transformation. You say, well, what does that mean? In other words, what Jesus was doing, He was giving them a little bit of heaven and a little bit of the supernatural so that their mind and what they saw that supernatural, and once they experienced it, they could never settle for anything less anymore. See, that's what God does when He transforms our mind. When the supernatural happens in our life, the good thing is, once it happens, you can't go back to believing a different mindset. Huh? Once God heals you, right? Ain't nobody going to tell me that God doesn't heal. Right? Once I have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, and whether it's you have dreams or visions, or whether you have an encounter that's supernatural, it doesn't matter what people say, because people with an argument are never at the mercy of people with an experience. People say to me, well, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not real. It's sensation. It died with the apostles. Is that right? Is that right? Well, buddy, I want to tell you something right now. The greatest encounters I've had have been with the Holy Spirit. Huh? And you can tell me no all you want. I know. He's real. So, it's the same word. It's the mind being renewed. And the Bible tells us in Romans 12 that when the mind is removed, we can do the perfect will of God. That's the purpose of a renewed mind, is to do the perfect will of God. Because we think from a heavenly perspective, and not from an earthly perspective. The Mount of Transfiguration had many meanings, but one of them is that Jesus would give them a heavenly perspective, just like Paul got when he went into the third heaven and he saw things he was not even unable to talk about. It transformed Paul, and I'll show you that next week, but it was a powerful thing. So God wants to renew our mind so that we can see the purpose of God. And in closing, a mind renewed, transformed outwardly, there's a personal experience of knowing the will of God for our lives. When our minds are transformed, we have no trouble believing the will of God for our lives, because it's so powerful and dramatic in our lives. And so I pray that God will allow you, your minds to be renewed supernaturally, so the power of the Holy Spirit can work the perfect will of God in your life. A lot of times, the purpose of God is connected to the fact of have our mindset. God will not allow us to step into our destiny if we don't have the mind of Christ. And that's what God desires, is the mind of Christ. Let's stand tonight and just close in a word of prayer. We have some fellowship. We have cake and ice cream back there, so we want to invite you to stay if you can. And matter of fact, I'm just going to go ahead and preach some of this Sunday. I feel like we just need to just go ahead and do this. But I really believe God's going to renew our mindset as a church. Let me just say this as we pray. I woke up the other night. It was about 3:30 in the morning. And I couldn't get back to sleep because I was thinking about Hope Over Heroin. It's Tuesday night. We had our meeting. And I was just praying. I went to bed. I slept. I woke up. My mind was like... And I heard somebody say this. They said, there is 207 churches in Madison and Scottsburg and Austin. 207 churches. How many know that's a lot of churches? Would y'all say it's a lot of churches? 207? Well, here's the question. Then why do we have so many drug addicts? Huh? Why we have such issues? Why aren't people free around here? I'm just asking. That's the thought that went through my mind. Why? Why aren't people free? There's 88 churches in Austin. Did you know that? 88 churches in Austin? Has the highest HIV rate in the state. And we're not far behind. And drug addicts, I know drug addicts are everywhere, but there's a higher concentration here. Why? I'll tell you why. Because we're all about knowledge of God and not the power of God. Paul said, I didn't come with you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but I came with you with the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul could outtalk anybody intellectually. He was a Pharisee among Pharisees. He was a scholar. He argued with those in Acts 18. He argued with those in Athens to no avail. But then he went on to Corinth and he said, I came to you with the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not coming to convince you. I'm coming to demonstrate. And the problem is we're not demonstrating. We're just giving people knowledge. And so I want our mindset to be, God, demonstrate yourself. Father, we pray tonight that you allow us to be a church that demonstrates the power of the Holy Spirit. You allow us to not just be the letter of the law, but Lord, we teach the power of the Holy Spirit and the strength of the Spirit. And we pray, Father, that God, that you will allow our minds to be stayed upon you. That what's in heaven we can believe can come to earth. That what your word says that's supernatural, we can hold on to it as faith and believe it and interject it into our lives that we might have breakthrough. And so, Father, we thank you for the renewed mind. We thank you, God, that we will not be conformed to this world, but we will be transformed. We will renew our mind through your word. We will take captive our thoughts. We will not allow them to run wild and unchecked. We will not meditate on things that are unholy. We will not let our thoughts determine our destiny, but your word will determine our destiny. And so, Father, we thank you for tonight and the goodness and your mercy in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all of God's saints said, Amen.